Hey, cool cats and kittens. It's your gal pal, Val, and I am back for more of my part 3 of my AMA. If you are listening to this, you have chosen to go down the rabbit hole with me, and you have decided to accompany me on the very fun journey of ranting, raving, rambling, and exploring every single fucking tangent imaginable to every question. Or nearly every question. You will hear my bloopers, you will hear all of my extended explanations for every single thing imaginable, and you will probably get lost in the rabbit hole with me, and in the black hole that is my mind. I hope you enjoy this very much. I thought it would be kind of a fun, different thing to do other than just have a super, 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 super long part 3 to the AMA. So, without further ado, here is a full and complete version of all my edited bullshit. Enjoy. Transcending into a different density. I totally heavily fuck with that. And that you heard cracking was my arm. Because I'm falling apart and I'm an old lady. And I talk with my hands because I'm very animated. And I just like whopped my arm out to the side and it just fucking cracked. I'm falling apart, but luckily it has nothing to do with coronavirus. I'm just really old. And I haven't been to the gym in like a month. So boohoo for me. That's like my hype up music whenever I go to the gym. Sometimes I'll listen to like really fun rock and alternative from like the 2000s and, you know, 2010s. And then I have like my playlist where I listen to all of my Latin fusion shit. Because I do love to dance and I love to feel like I could just dance at any moment. And I often do at home and at work. And at the gym, I kind of like go up on the Stairmaster, kind of like prowling, doing my little thing, moving my hips and shit, which I probably shouldn't because it probably doesn't help and do any real exercise, but whatever. I do what I want. Okay. And let me try to see. You know, I'm gonna sing my favorite part because whatever. You guys can just fast forward. And I sing terribly, but I'm gonna do it anyway because I love it. Okay. But you see, it's not me, it's not my family. In your head, they are dying. What's in your head? In your head, zombie, it's the same old thing in 2018. In your head, they are crying. What's in your head, zombie. All right, I got way too excited doing that, and I was like lifting my hands and like going around the mic, and I felt like I was in this whole fucking stage with a bunch of people jamming out with me, but it was terrible. So when I go back and edit this, I will listen and I will probably be disappointed with myself, but we're all friends here, so I'm gonna leave it in there so that you can laugh at me. Oh, I think my favorite album of his is his second Disney covers album. No, I lied. Take that back. Reel it back in. I think my favorite cover is the Disney villains one because I just love the villains. I'm that person and I'm that friend that is always like, oh my gosh, look at the villain, but like, look at their backstory. They're not all bad. I love you. Let me help you. You're just misunderstood. So, and I think also that they have the best fucking songs because, okay, The Bells of Notre Dame, good fucking song. Also, Frollo's little, not soliloquy, I guess just solo, good song, Be Prepared, so good, always pumps me up. In the Dark of the Night from Anastasia, I know that's on Disney, but also such a good song. So I think that's my favorite album right now, and Jonathan Young is my favorite artist. Oh, and I don't know if I explained this when I said that he does covers, but he does metal covers of all these songs, so they are so cool, and you guys should definitely check them out, because if you like metal, and you like rock, and you like Disney, he is the beautiful marriage of all of these things together, even though I don't necessarily condone marriage and unions that the government has to involve itself in. But anyway, that's another topic entirely. I love the Harry Potter books. You know, oh man, I don't even know if I want to say this. I love them. I think they are amazing, and they are written in an excellent way to tell a story. It is not the best writing that I've ever read in my life. I have read authors that are way better writers, but I think that the storytelling is magnificent, and the story itself is just something that has personally touched my life. So I guess I'm just going to have to say all of the Harry Potter books are my favorite book. And oh my gosh, but I also love. Okay, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm kind of going to split the baby on this one. Oh, but there's so many good authors. Okay, well, yeah, I'm going to say my favorite book or books are the Harry Potter books. And my favorite author is going to be George R. R. Martin, because the man is a legend, and he is also a terrible human being for murdering everything that I love, but he is an excellent, excellent author, and I just enjoyed The Song of Ice and Fire just so much. Just reading it was really a pleasure because of the reading and the description and the way that he ties in violence and the way he brings the plot to life and the way that he really gets you to feel for these characters. And that's my favorite thing whenever I'm reading a book, is I don't necessarily have to sympathize. Oh, I don't know. I think I always do end up sympathizing or empathizing with the characters, but I don't necessarily have to feel like the protagonist is my favorite character in order to really enjoy it. I think as long as the characters are multidimensional and they have depth, and you know, there's a character arc and there's a description about what's going on, and it's a very interesting world that the author has crafted, or it is just very immersive. That's just something that I fall into and that I just love so very much. But I'm also a fan of classics. Y'all are really gonna hate me. I can't answer any questions straight. All of my answers are, it depends. So, and okay, I do, I love a bunch of different types of genres. I think the only genres that I don't like to read are self-help. Not that I think there's anything wrong with reading self-help books. I just am not really personally interested in them in the same way that I'm interested in novels and short stories and just generally fiction. I love fiction. Fiction, fantasy, science fiction. Those are my favorites. I do like nonfiction because I like to learn about things. And that's where I'm a huge fucking nerd, because I love learning about things that I don't know about and things that I find interesting. So anything that has to do pretty much with space, outer space, the universe, astrophysics, which I do not understand, but I think is so fucking cool because I'm obsessed with space and the universe. And, of course, aliens and extraterrestrial and interdimensional and time-traveling beings and all that shit. And also anything spooky, because I love spooky. I am a slut for spooky stuff. And anything like that. Horror, mystery, crime, anything like that, suspense, thrillers. Oh my gosh, psycho thrillers. I love psycho thrillers. History. I'm a huge history nerd and I love history, both reading non-fictional accounts of history and also historical fiction because I ripped my bodice open, Mr. Countryman. And I do actually have a couple of ideas for scripts that are kind of historical fiction-y. So hopefully I'll write them. But I don't know. Because most of them are MDOM scripts. So I don't know if I'll do that or if I'll just improv some delectable historical fiction tale. I have at least two that I definitely know I want to improv, but I have a super long list of MDOM scripts that I want to write because I really, really, really want to hear all the decadent male voices of GWA bringing to life my naughty, dirty, decadent deviance. And I love to write, and that's, I think I mentioned this in a previous AMA. That's actually how I got into Reddit the second time around, was by writing. And I love writing. Writing is my passion. Obviously, recording erotic audios is also my passion, and I'm a very passionate person because I have many passions, most of which are of the creative nature. And I think that's pretty common for people who are creative. I think we have a lot of different outlets that we just really just want to create things and we just want to make things and make art. So I do love to write and I want to get back to that. And I want to do a million things. And I'm pretty sure that I've mentioned it before in several backstage posts or like comments or things like that, but I'm the type of person who just starts projects and has a million started projects, and I just need to finish like five. I just need to finish them, and that's pretty much the bare minimum. It's just finish a fucking project, Val. Okay. So I think I answered that question-ish, kind of, mostly. My lingua franca is Spanish. I am a native Spanish speaker, and that was my first language. I grew up at home speaking Spanish, and I continue to speak Spanish with my family members and a lot of my friends, too. That is the main language that I speak extremely fluently with the same amount of, I guess, fluidity. That doesn't sound right. I'm thinking about like sexual fluidity right now, or like gender fluidity. And I speak Spanish just as fluently as I speak English. Y bueno, si alguien aquí habla español y quiere hablar conmigo, por favor, déjenme mensajes en español, escríbanme comentarios en español y por favor, déjenme saber de dónde son. Y si quieren hablar un poquito conmigo, también siempre están bienvenidos a hablar conmigo en español. Porque sé que no hay muchos chicos y chicas aquí que hablan español. Y bueno, pues si quieren hablar y si se sienten cómodos haciéndolo, por favor, adelante. Okay, I also speak very shitty, very shitty Portuguese and very shitty French. My mom taught me how to speak Portuguese. She is very fluent in Portuguese. I am not very fluent in Portuguese, and I've lost it so much throughout the years because I don't use it anymore. So I've regrettably not really kept up with it very well. So pretty much I'm conversational, but not very good. Oi, meu nome é Val, e soy pésima comienzo. Por favor, no ría de mí. Oh man, I tried, but it's so bad. Okay, and like I said, I do also speak French, but also lack a lot of practice. I did not learn that with my family. I learned that on my own in school. And I took, probably seven years of French. And I don't ever use it now. So I almost completely lost my French, but there are still a couple of things that I can say. Je me sens à la de parler français uniquement avec des gens qui ne me jugent pas. Parce que je ressemble à un étranger qui abat la langue. Et ma prononciation est aussi une ordure. Je m'excuse abondamment pour ma terrible tentative. I'm so sorry. Anybody who understands French, please forgive me. I just fucking butchered all of that. But I tried though. So I guess I get points for trying. And I did try to learn Russian for, I want to say, about 2 or 3 months. That did not go well. I learned how to say just a couple of words, and it was just really, really difficult. So I was busy with other things, and I didn't really know how to keep up with it or how to focus on it enough to where I could actually learn it. And then I don't know anybody who speaks Russian, so I wouldn't really be able to practice either. But I do have to give Duolingo a lot of credit because it is really easy to use, and I thought it was really helpful. It's just very time consuming. I can say very few things. So something basic like Privet, Меня зовут Val, and Duomo, which is house, and Da, Niet, and let's see what else. I can't really remember a lot. I used to know how to count from 1 to 10, but now that I'm trying to, I am totally drawing a blank. And I know how to say the word bitch, which is suka. And of course, it wouldn't be me if I didn't know how to say fuck. And I think the interesting part is that there are different words for fuck. So there's fuck in like cussing somebody out. There's fuck in actually fucking, like banging somebody. And there is fuck just like an adjective, I guess, or a verb. I'm not really sure. So I think the regular translation is blit. And I definitely remember that the one for fucking is trahut. So I am sorry. I am an ignorant fuck. And I like to learn the curse words in foreign languages and the words that are pertinent to the activities that I'm fond of. And I know that I butchered it, and I know that I sounded not as any of the foreign, I mean, not as any of the native speakers who speak those languages sound, except for Spanish, because I am a native speaker. So I apologize to anybody who had to listen to that, and their native language is one of those that I just absolutely massacred. So I am definitely going to need a while to get that Spanish audio done. And I also did consider doing just kind of like a safe for work audio where I just either speak in Spanish fully or I just read a poem or read my favorite story or something like that, because I don't know. I just don't want to disappoint everyone. I don't want to disappoint everybody with a Spanish audio. And if anybody's really hyped about that and then they listen and they're like, wow, Val, you are total garbage in Spanish. Please don't ever speak Spanish again. Just stick to English. So that's one of my main concerns. But other than that, I definitely do like to add Spanish into my audios. So my first ever post that I made was a ramble fap, and I do speak in Spanish at the end of that, just a little bit. It's not like a whole paragraph or like a whole 7 sentences. It's just like a couple of words, but it's there. And then in one of my most recent audios, the Amazon walks into a bar one, I did throw in some Spanish when we're doing the cheers in the beginning of the audio, because that's like a staple whenever I do a cheers. I don't ever do like a regular cheers. I always have to do pa arriba, pa abajo, pa el centro, pa dentro, because that's just the degenerate that I am. And let's see. And I know that the first John Wick came out like forever ago, and I've seen them all as they've come out, but I've just recently redeveloped an appreciation and a love for John Wick. Obviously, the fact that Keanu Reeves is portraying him is not hurting, because I am forever in love with sweet, sweet Keanu. And I just think the whole series of films is just so excellently done. And I think he's a great actor. They have many great actors in there. And I know it's supposed to be just like this action-packed movie, and you have the guns blazing and him beating everybody up. And it just, I think that a lot of people misinterpret that for just kind of gimmicky action and don't really pay attention to the themes in it. And I'm a total fucking nerd, so I am obsessed with that, and I'm obsessed with the religious and kind of sacrilegious themes in John Wick and the iconography in it, as well as just the general idea of this existence of this different social structure and different order of, I guess, just organized crime. It's like a small world within a bigger world. And I always think that's very, very neat. You know, it's one of those like Matryoshka dolls. Like, you have the general society and what everybody sees and what everybody thinks is the normal. And then you have a smaller subsection and then an even smaller subsection. And all of these things are happening, I don't want to say comorbidly, because that's not the right word. It's just, in the current environment, comorbidity is something that gets thrown out a lot. So that's something that's, I guess, stuck in my head. But I guess it's parallel? I don't know. I can't think of the right word right now. But it's all happening at the same time. And to me, it also kind of mirrors the idea of multiple realities and multiple universes in which different things are happening. So even though that's not the actual idea of the John Wick world, in my mind, it just kind of mirrors that, because you think everything's nice and normal. You're in New York City, just minding your own business. And then bam, there's this super cool place where there's all these sexy ass women dressed up in exactly how I want to be dressed up in every day, with their cool, beautiful hairdos and their impeccable makeup and all of their amazing tattoos and all their books. And it's just the administration and all of these things are going on, and people are getting hits on them, and you're being excommunicado, and it's so fucking cool. I don't know. It's really exciting to me. Plus, Halle Berry in John Wick 3 is amazing. So that is, I think that right now is my favorite. Oh my goodness. I'm currently obsessed with Tiger King, as is just 75% of the planet. And it's unfortunate, because I don't really like following the trends of things, and I really don't like buying into the hype of things. So I started watching because one of my friends actually posted something on social media. So she said, please, I beg you, watch this. You're gonna laugh. You're gonna love it, because it's very fucking weird, just like you. So watch it. And so I did. And I do not regret my decision at all. There are so many memes, and I am a meme queen. of a sort. And I just am obsessed with it because it's so funny and there's so much material there. And just for anybody else who's watched it, I'm probably going to get a lot of shit for this, but I definitely, definitely love Doc Antle. And I think that in certain respects, he's a piece of shit, but I am very oddly attracted to him. And I have decided that I someday am going to quit my job and leave my life behind to go become one of his wives. So, and I don't even need to get a boob job. That's the positive part. So I'm already like, I don't know, 75% in. And I'm a big bitch, so we could kind of do this like whole Amazon tiger training kind of shtick. So, you know, he can have a different bitch in there, a variety of wives. So if there's anyone sex cult that I would want to join, it's definitely Doc Antle's. Supernatural came out when I was a teenager, and I obviously became obsessed instantly when I was a teenager. And it was so funny. I would tell my friends every single Thursday at 8 when it played, I'd be like, hey, I had to call my friends on my house phone, on my landline, probably about like 7:45 or 7:50, and then we'd do like three-way calls and four-way calls and be like, hey guys, Supernatural's gonna start. And we would stay on the phone for that entire time and just kind of live react with each other before that was a thing. And it was magical and I loved every moment of it, and I have seen every single episode that has ever been released at least four times. I think I've seen the series through four times. And then, of course, I've watched it whenever the reruns go on TV. And I've seen those a million times, too. So, obsessed. Love it. I know that there's going to be a question later on about Dean or Sam, so I'm not going to answer it right now. But, oh, that's not a hard question for me to answer. I am in love with Mulder and Scully, both. And I had the hugest crush on both of them when I was growing up and I was watching the series. And I wanted to be Scully, but I also wanted to fuck Scully. So it was very confusing. Gillian Anderson is just, oh my God. And David Duchovny is such a daddy. And as Mulder, I am a slut for spooky stuff. So, and I love aliens. I am obsessed with aliens. Charmed, both the original and the remake. I think the remake is getting a lot of shit, but I really like it. I think it's very well done. I think the characters are super likable. I like that they're ethnic because it just kind of reaches out a little bit more to me. Not that they didn't originally with the original Charmed. I always thought that I was Piper because I am the responsible one who has her shit together and takes care of everybody and makes sure that all the things are in order and that everyone's ducks are in a row. But when one of my friends really pointed out the fact that I'm really just Phoebe. I'm really just Phoebe. And that's fine. I'm totally fine with that because, oh my God, Alyssa Milano. But I thought that was funny how my perception of myself and everyone else's perception of me was very different. Love Vampire Diaries. Damon. Oh my gosh. Was my favorite. And so was Tyler. And Klaus. Oh my goodness. So many fine motherfuckers in that show. And, well, actually, if I'm quite honest, one of my favorites was Professor Saltzman. Yes. Oh, Alaric Saltzman. What a daddy. Okay, I'm getting sidetracked again. I was able to go, and I had a couple of friends who had cars and who drove, so one of my friends actually drove, I want to say 4 or 5 of us over there, and he had a very, very uncomfortably small car, so we were all crowded, and it was just so much fun, and it was amazing. Like, 3 Days Grace was my favorite band, and I still have a huge, 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 huge part of it in my heart. And it's not the same, obviously, without the previous lead singer, but I still love it, and I've heard all their albums. I own all of their albums, and I still keep up with everything, and I know all the words to all of their songs. So it was awesome. It was really awesome. I can't believe we got away with that. That was pretty cool. And luckily we did have my friend's older sister who came with us, and she was like the adult. So everything was fine, and she was responsible for all of us. And so it was a really good time. I loved, loved, loved watching them live. It was just a perfect dream come true. I love them. And I knew all their songs. I was fucking obsessed with them. So I was moshing and shit. A very mild mosh. It wasn't a very serious mosh, but I love classic poetry. And I like a lot of the mainstream poets like Robert Frost and Maya Angelou. And, oh man, I also really, really like new artists and kind of lesser known people who are just kind of going into it, because I do write. I love writing. And I write pretty much about everything. I write scripts, short stories, poems. I'm working on a novel that's never fucking gonna get written. And I love Atticus. Atticus is a new poet and kind of like an Instagram sensation, actually, and a Tumblr sensation. But I really, really do like Atticus's work, because I think it's very raw and it's very reflective of what a lot of angsty young adults and adults kind of feel. My favorite poem, oh my goodness. You know, this is fucking hard. So growing up, I had two favorite poems, and they were both Robert Frost poems. And the first poem that I was obsessed with was Nothing Gold Can Stay, and the other one was The Road Not Taken. And I actually memorized both of them. And I love Nothing Gold Can Stay because I think it's so very resounding just generally in life, how everything is so ephemeral and you experience something and really all you have left is a memory, because it's very passing and everything kind of is just in passing. So I like that one. It means a lot to me, and I'm going to be lame and I'm going to recite it because I do think about it every once in a while. So it's Nothing Gold Can Stay. Nature's first green is gold. Her heart is hue to hold. Her early leaves of flower, but only for an hour. Then leaf subsides to leaf. So Eden sank to grief. So dawn goes down to day. Nothing gold can stay. Yeah, that's, oh man. That also gives me the feels. And then my favorite part of The Road Not Taken is the most cliche part of the poem, but fuck it, I love it. So it is the last stanza, which says, I shall begin telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. And I love that. So there's that. And let's see. My favorite artwork. Ooh, that's going to be hard because I have so many favorites. And I have actually practiced drawing and sketching in her style because I just love it so much. And of course, mine looks much different than hers because she's a fucking genius, pro, amazing savant. And I'm just here like,
I have a black and tablet and I draw things on it. Oh my gosh, I'm an artist.
But not really. So, she's my favorite artist. And in terms of well-known artists, my favorite work of art? Well, I am a big Rubens fan, so I love Prometheus Bound. I think that is a phenomenal artwork. And I also really, 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 really like Dali's Dream Caused by the Flight of a Bumblebee. That is one of my favorite artworks ever. And it is one that I actually got to see in person. I've actually gotten to see all of these in person, which was phenomenal and so cool. And I've been super lucky to be able to travel and to experience that kind of stuff. And I love it. I think it's such an interesting painting and has so many things going on, but I think it's just so perfectly proportionate and it just draws your attention to everywhere that it needs to draw your attention. And of course, it's just got everything. It's got tigers, it's got titties, it's got everything. I also love The Embrace by Gustav Klimt. It is not because of the tender nature of it. It's just such a fascinating painting to look at, and it's so busy, but so simple at the same time. And I don't know if anybody agrees with that, but to me, it has simplicity, but it's also so complex that it kind of offsets each other. Obviously, Starry Night is one of my favorites because it is classic and timeless. And really like the style of Starry Night. And then I also like that it has been used often to do different things. So I've seen a lot of Hogwarts landscapes with Starry Night, and I absolutely love those. And then I've also seen really neat Tangled versions that are like done in the style of Starry Night. And I mean Tangled from Disney. And I love that. That's so neat. That's so cool. I also really, and I know this is a different type of artwork because it's a sculpture, but I also really, really, really like the sculpture. It's in Florence, and it is just kind of offset on the Piazza della Signoria. It's like offset from the replica of David, and I think it's called, oh my gosh, what's it called? The Rape of the Something Women. The Rape of the Sabine Women. Sorry, I just snapped really loud. I got really excited. The Rape of the Sabine Women. It is a phenomenal sculpture, and it is so lifelike. I mean, it looks like this dude is really holding this girl, and just the way that it flows is fantastic, and it's so pleasing to the eye to see how it's just a movement, and it really does look like they're people that have been frozen in time and place and marble, and it's fucking phenomenal. I love that too. And the last one that I'll say is another digital artwork that I can't remember right now who painted it, but I know it's somebody else that's on DeviantArt, and it is called just Hades and Persephone, and it is so fucking beautiful, and I love everything about it because it is so aesthetically pleasing. It's just got aesthetic, I guess. And it is very tender, but it's also very cold, and you have Hades reaching out to Persephone, and Hades is the starker figure, and he's in all grays and dark blues and blacks and some sort of armor. He's reaching over at Persephone, who is laying on the snow, and she has all these flowers around her, and she just looks so delicate and so beautiful, and she's nice and pink and alive, and he's god of the underworld. I'm very fond of the Hades-Persephone pairing, so that is one of my favorite artworks, too. So I love mythology. And I love literature, and a lot of literature is rooted in mythology. So I was just curious about a couple of different myths that I was not familiar with that came up in something else that I was reading. And so I decided to read Bulfinch's Mythology because that was the most comprehensive anthology, really, of all the myths, and he just explains it so easily, and it's very, very easy to follow. So I really enjoyed that. So typically, what I'll do is that I'll start off, let's start on Monday. Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays are my ass and leg days. So Mondays, I will work on my ass and I will work on my quads. Wednesdays, I will work on my ass and work on my hamstrings. And Friday, I will work on my ass and I will work on a little bit of both hamstrings and quads. So generally, my ass routine is pretty long. And so let me back up before I start talking about my ass routine, because that's the most important thing to me, honestly. It's the thing that I feel I need the most work in, and it is, to me, one of the most enjoyable things to work out, and really why I started going to the gym again. I mean, I was really, really upset that my ass was not what I wanted it to be, so that's why I got back to the gym and started literally working my ass off. Okay, so before I start going into that, every single day I start off warming up by doing 15 minutes on the stair climber, and then I finish my workout by doing 30 minutes in the treadmill. So I'll run for 30 minutes at the end just to kind of loosen everything up and just cool off a little bit. I usually don't run like I'm training for a marathon or anything. I usually just do like a mile or something like that. Really just, you know, variable pace, but trying to loosen up everything. So let's take it all the way back. So Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, butt days. So for my ass, I do a very specific ass workout that one of my friends sent me, because this is the ass workout that she did, and she got some amazing results, so she was kind enough to share it with me. And it involves a lot of things that you wouldn't think are necessarily things to do with your ass. So obviously you do a lot of donkey kicks and a lot of hip thrusts and a lot of frog kind of hip thrusts and like single leg hip thrusts, and generally that's my favorite one to do. Ironically, those are my favorite ones to do, but it's so rewarding to me to be able to hip thrust like, I don't know, 140 pounds. I feel like a bad fucking bitch when I do. And it also involves, obviously, squats. It involves lunges, a lot of lunges. I fucking hate lunges, and those are the bane of my existence. I fucking hate doing them every single fucking goddamn time. And it also involves deadlifting. I actually do the same exact exercises on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for my ass. And then I usually keep a month or a month and a half with those. And after about a month or a month and a half, I'll switch them up. Or what I'll do is that I will keep some of them, like the hip thrusts. I do hip thrusts all the time, but sometimes I'll do hip thrusts, and sometimes I'll do single legs, and sometimes I'll just do the frog leg ones, and other times I will kind of combine them through. And my warming up exercises, my glute activating exercises, are all pretty much the same. I don't really switch those up. I just keep those the whole time. And I do enjoy those because you can feel it. You can feel the burn, and you can feel yourself getting ready, and you're already loosened up and kind of ready to go and fired up when you start actually adding all the weights in. So that's my butt stuff. And butt stuff. Sorry. I'm a child. Okay. Moving on to quads and hamstrings, I do pretty much just the most basic quad and hamstring exercises, and I just use all the machines that are in the gym. I don't go crazy and like do extra stuff. I go crazy and do extra stuff for my ass, but I don't go crazy and do extra stuff for my legs, because I do have to say that I have been blessed with some super duper sick calves. And that was the only part of my body other than my tits that I used to love. I hated everything else about me until not that long ago. Or like maybe not hated, but I just wasn't crazy about any of the parts of my body other than my calves and my tits. So, okay, legs, check that off. And then Tuesdays, I do back and biceps, and I do a very specific routine that I found from a YouTuber. And I have to say, it was super awesome because it really, really did target all of the muscle groups in my back that I needed. And I saw a distinct difference in how my back looked after, I want to say, like, definitely after 4 weeks, because that's when I really, really, really started noticing the difference. And then probably at like week 8, you could really, really tell that it kind of shaped down. So everything became a little bit more defined and everything was a lot tighter. And so it made my waist look much smaller than it actually is, because I do have some pretty wide hips. Not like the widest hips, but you can definitely tell the difference. But now it's a big, big difference because it just kind of cut and shred the fat from my back. It just defined everything. So it looked really awesome. Obviously not like awesome, awesome, like a fitness model, but compared to how I started, there's a huge noticeable difference. And I was very, very pleased with that. And so I do love doing those back exercises because they're also fun and they're very doable. So I feel very, very accomplished when I do them. Okay, so that's Tuesday. Thursday, I do, which I hate. Shoulders and triceps. Shoulders and triceps are the bane of my fucking existence, and I loathe shoulders and triceps because one of my biggest fucking nemeses are the curls. Wrist curls, and I fucking hate wrist curls. I do them both with the bar and I do them with barbells, and I fucking hate everything about them. So that's not a good time. And I really do dread going to the gym on Thursdays. So what I'll do on Thursdays, instead of doing the stair climber alone for 15 minutes, I will do the stair climber for 15 minutes. And then I will run for 30 minutes to get me really, really excited and really pumped up to do the shit that I really don't want to do. And okay, so that's Thursday. And Saturday is more of, it's more of a core day for me, really. So what I'll usually try to do is that I'll go really, really, really early to the gym as soon as it opens on Saturday. And I will do about 3 miles. It obviously isn't always the same amount of time that it'll take me to do 3 miles, but I'll start off and I'll do 3 miles and get warmed up and just feel really, really good about being there. And then I will launch into core. So anything that you can imagine about core. And I say core because I don't mean just abs. Like I'm not trying to get abs. I'm just really, really trying to strengthen my core so that I could do more heavy lifting and build more muscle and help me with my ass even more. And so I do a lot of core workouts and not really like machines. I'll do some of the machines. I'll do like the crunches and all of that. And I'll do like the ones where you twist to the side, twist to each side. I don't really know what the fuck the name of that shit is. And then I'll also use the weighted balls. The weighted balls. Sorry. Okay, I'll use those, the ones that are heavy that have like different weights and sizes. And I will usually spend not that long. I don't particularly enjoy core exercises either, and planking. I fucking hate planking with a passion, but I do it every single time, and I have noticed a lot of improvements on it. I still hate it. I just fucking hate it. And push-ups and pull-ups and just not a good time. The reason why I don't enjoy doing it. And the reason why I say it's not a good time is because I know I'm not good at it. And I know that I struggle with them. And I know that it's hard to do for me because it's my weak spot. And I hate having weak spots. So I really don't enjoy that. Okay, that's Saturday. Sunday is really, really just my relaxed yoga day. So I will still do some cardio. That's just because it's the way that I like to get warmed up and it just makes me feel better going into it. My body is in motion, so I will continue to be in motion. And so Sundays are really for yoga, stretching, kind of meditating and getting my shit together and kind of realigning my chakras. That sounds so douchey, but and really I do Sunday yoga with the intent to clear all the negativity of the week and kind of prepare myself for the next week coming in and have that mindset going through. So there's that. I am very flexible actually, and I'm actually pretty surprised. I cannot do a split and I cannot do a straddle, but there are a lot of other things that I can do, and I can definitely put my legs behind my ears. So there's that. And it is, I feel like yoga is just very liberating, and it's just very good to calm your soul, calm your mind, and just release all the things that you're holding on to, all the tension, not just in your body, but also in your mind. And just generally overall, it helps loosen up everything. And if I have any particular ache or any particular pain or anything that kind of feels out of whack during the week that I maybe like misstepped or any sort of movement that I did that was wrong and it's kind of keeping a specific muscle or tendon or something and discomfort, usually I can figure that out and get that fixed on Sundays. So that's my workout routine. And I do usually, whenever I am really on my shit, also have a pretty rigorous diet to complement my workout routine. I am a very good cook. And I make my own meals and I prep my own meals. And I'm usually pretty strict at some points. And then I will allow myself one meal a week, but it's just one meal. It can't be like a whole day or anything like that. And I also don't beat myself up over it. So like if I eat something that's not the best thing during the week and I want to do that reward meal on the weekend, then I will not feel bad about it during the week and I'll still do it on the weekend. But I do limit myself to one that way. I need discipline. I'm a person who needs a lot of discipline. And I feel like whenever I kind of let myself go and do whatever I want, if I want to do two or three of those meals a week, or if I want to do like a breakfast, a lunch, and a dinner, whenever during the week, that's not really something that works out for me because it doesn't keep me motivated. And then I inevitably abuse that and I just need strict discipline. So I think that makes a lot of sense to anybody who knows my proclivities. Definitely a fan of strict discipline. What else? And of course, I know that this is not in the question, but if ever we could do intergalactic travel, I am your girl. I'm ready. Get me the fuck out of this shit planet. And let me explore the stars and the planets and the universe. That's so exciting. I'm going to be honest with you all. The fact that we can travel space like in Star Trek and Star Wars really, really upsets me and definitely hurts my feelings. And I'm very disappointed that we haven't gotten to that point yet. And also that we can't just travel through stargates like in Stargate, which, boohoo, I wish it was true. Or maybe we can, we have the technology, but the government is just hiding it from us. So let me take off my tinfoil hat now. So I'm never going to forget something that my 11th grade English teacher told us. And she said that there's really only two secrets or two rules in life. The first one is Don't Be a Dick. And the second one is Laugh Every Day. And I think I just kind of took that and I reminded myself of that. And it's just a habit that I've developed. Plus, I am very, very easy to make laugh. I laugh at fucking anything. So anything makes me giggle or chuckle or laugh. So it's not that hard. And all joking aside, I have gone through quite a bit of interesting times. I think that's really character building. And as I've told some of you that I talk to in private and that I'm developing friendships with, sometimes I prefer the interesting people who have gone through it more than the people who don't really understand what that's like, because you connect on a different level with people who kind of understand you heart to heart like that. So nothing wrong with never having struggled. That's awesome. And I'm very, very, very glad that you never had to. So with that, I leave you, my lovelies. Remember to be kind and stay nasty.